Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went in the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. We proclaim Christ crucified, the wisdom and power of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was growing up, I loved a parade. The town I grew up in had an annual festival. It was called Auburn Good Old Days. Doesn't that sound Western? Auburn Good Old Days. Yeah, you can imagine it, couldn't you? It was the great civic pride event of our little town. There were marches of organizations, civic and service organizations, dog, car, and various other clubs, dignitaries, emergency responders, military personnel. It was a great event. There was a lot of pride in the town in which I grew up in. When I was in high school, I had the honor of participating as a member of the marching band. We had that distinct privilege of being the last entry. We brought the parade to a close. Our band had a reputation of excellence, and people would cheer loudly as we marched with precision down the street, Main Street. Parades, I think, disclose something meaningful about a city or a town or an area. They reveal what makes up the civil fabric. What are the important values in that area? Often, the clapping and cheering is, for the most part, pretty uniform. No one group or individually is noticeably honored over another. At least, the parades I attended. In some ways, a parade is a movement toward an ideal future where people of various backgrounds and gifts and abilities and passions and interests are united in a common purpose to support that area, that city, that town, for the good of its citizens. I have never heard a boo at a civic parade. But we all know parades can also be of pure military nature. It seems every time we watch the news and see a story in North Korea, there's a visual of a film of military personnel equipment going down, thousands of them, the streets in North Korea, people cheering. Of course, some parades celebrate people whom the dominant culture over history has not. Think of the civil rights parades or marches, LGBTQ marches. Other parades are a response sometimes to what people fear losing from their history. You may think of the white supremacist parades and marches. What I find interesting as well is that humanity parades around the ideals often of equality and inclusion, but can equally march around ideas of power and dominance. When you rewind to ancient times, there's the same situation. In Jerusalem, the Roman occupying force had no doubt paraded down the main street with Caesar or some commanding general on a great white steed flanks of troops ahead and behind, displaying their military might, marching with precise formation, disciplined, dedicated, and determined to expand the greatness of the Roman Empire. By contrast, today we see a different kind of parade, the Jesus Parade. No doubt it was a ragtag bunch, people who never had walked in a formation of any kind, now processing, people waving palm branches and laying down their garments on the road. You can only imagine what the Jewish aristocracy and the Romans thought about this. Oh, those dregs of society, they don't merit this. Especially that political subversive on the colt. Ech, a colt, not even a proper horse. We need to put an end to this. And that's exactly what we'll read later. This parade, yes, was moving to a beat of a new drum in a radically different future for all people. It was a threat then to the established order. In his classic letter from Birmingham jail, Martin Luther King Jr. wrote to the powerful liberal clergy of Birmingham, Alabama, who begged him to go easy on the white supremacy of their city, telling him that a lot of innocent people could get hurt if he didn't back off from his campaign for civil rights. Well, we all know the story. King didn't back off. He wrote back to these Christians. And among the things King said in his letter was that there was a time when the world feared Christians. The world persecuted Christians because the world saw in the church a threat to the established order. But now, things are different, said King. Now the church fears disruption of the world. Now the church fears that it's no match for the world and therefore must adapt and adjust to keep things quiet and respectful. All of this has changed since that first Jesus parade. Jesus would not be celebrated as the Messiah by the majority of society. He'd be crucified like a criminal. He showed that by marching bravely into the future that God is creating means death to the old ways, to the established ways. And he himself took the full brunt of the clash between equality and dominance, sin and righteousness, good and evil. King's words were based on history. He read it well. In Germany, during the rise of Nazism, the state church marched in Hitler's parade to the drumbeat of dominance and death to the Jews and others deemed an obstacle to the establishment of the Aryan nation. He saw this happen in his own time with white churches keeping silent in response to racial hate crimes and segregation. And so I think sometimes we Christians in our own time must look around, for we may too have a similar choice to make. Whether it be racial or social or economic injustices, if we are dedicated to the parade of marching towards God's intended future for all people, then we either choose to march in the parades of the world or to march in the Jesus parade, proclaiming the good news for all to hear, even when all don't cheer. Palm Passion Sunday may be one of the most political Sundays of the year. That Sunday when Jesus makes it clear, as he always does in his very beautifully subversive ways, that the old order is coming to an end. He does this on the back of a shaggy donkey. He does it because he's not the Savior we expected. Are we marching in the parade toward the kingdom of Jesus Christ, where death awaits the old order, along with what perhaps needs to die in us, to march in that parade? Are we ready to follow Jesus all the way to the end, to the cross and the grave, with the hope, that's right, that no matter what we face, no matter what we fear, that the resurrection awaits. This is the Sunday when we are asked, which parade will we march in? May it be that we shall march with our Savior. All glory, laud, and honor be unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.